I'm just trying to capture a few things that we did over here. We got to the nut. So one of the things we spoke about was the Shira, and last Friday, I went over my Shira, some of the things that we discussed. The concept of certain elements in the Shira, of course, the major Shira is Oz Yashir. But you have Oz Yashir, it's interesting. So B'Shalach, you read Oz Yashir on the seventh day of Pesach, and then for the Haftarah, you read the Shira from Shmuel Beis, Dar HaMelech Shira. There's a difference. I mean, one is really a Shiras Sibur, and one is really a Shiras Yachid. And there's a difference between a Shiras Sibur and a Shiras Yachid. But in Shira, basically, we'll get back to that, what the difference is. But in Shira, basically, there are two aspects of Shira. One aspect of Shira is the what the whole purpose of Yahadis is, and the purpose of Yahadis is to teach a human being what the proper response is, or how to react, how to respond in certain situations, or how to relate. How a person should relate to the Borei Olam, because this is a serious dilemma. Because a Bosel Adam is a Yotzur, I mean, he's a creature, and he is severely limited in his understanding and his knowledge, and because of his nature. And the question is, how could a human being, a Bosel Adam, a finite existence, relate to the Borei Olam? That's really what Yahadus, that's the whole objective of Yahadus, is to teach an individual the proper way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the proper way, the one aspect of, a central aspect of how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shira. One is through Yediyah, one is through Yediyah, through knowledge, that's one way, and the second way is through Shira. The difference between the two is Yediyah is an intellectual process, and Shira is a process of reflection, where the person reflects upon his state. In Yediyah Hashem, the person is lost in the world of Chachma, in God's Chachma. That's a different kind of a state of existence. And Shira is where a person reflects on their own state, what their situation, reflects on their situation. So there are certain elements in the Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir can be broken down to certain elements. The most essential element is, of course, the first element, which is Ashir La Hashem Ki Go'o Go'o, which means that the person takes no pride whatsoever in the victory of the Yam Suf. Of course, Gaivosa Dilbeisa Delay. The only one that is the hero, so to speak, the victor, is Yom Kippur. A man that plays no role in it. He has no sense of accomplishment in relation to the event. That's the basic part of it. But then the Shira goes on to different elements, but Hashem is Muhammad, Hashem is Mo, is an extremely important concept. Over there, the statement is that a person cannot really thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absurd, because there's no need for it, it's only human, that's proper in human communication. But in relationship to God, that doesn't really make any sense, because there's no need to tell God how you feel, nor is there any reason, nor is there anything you can do, as in an ordinary person would, when you thank somebody, if you're trying to make them feel good, a kind of a repayment for the chesed they did. But in relation to God, there's nothing we can do. So it's mo hashiv lo Hashem kol tag malay alay. Nothing. All you can do is kos shus nesu v'shem Hashem ekra. So over here it's a totally different situation. So the only thing a person can do is a certain proper response, and that proper response is to be filled with the awe of the source of the chesed that the person receives. But that's now the question is, how does human knowledge fit? How do you evaluate the chesed? And what is the proper path, the proper method of evaluation? So really, this is a very dangerous area. You're talking about chesed Hashem. Well, chesed or bosser adam, I can say, yes, this personality is a good character. He's a ma'avel midosa, everything. What do you say about Akash Baruch Hu? So this is something which is impossible for us as creatures, as Yitzurim, it's impossible for us to engage in something. But that's where Yahadis gives us the road, the path, the method. And the method is really expressed in one pasuk. Ad Hashem Mishmo Chama, Ad Hashem Shmo. Ad Hashem Mishmo Chama is what Chazal said. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in different, has different appearances. Alayam Nira Lahem Kiyosh Mohama. And Sinai is like a Zokin, I forget the Lashon HaChazal, he's near them like a Zokin Chacham. So what it means is that it's impossible for man to have knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Maaseh Hashem affect us in a certain way. So that's Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we're affected in a certain manner. So of course this is really the point, the course, the deviation between us and between the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Because Ovdei Avodah Zarah, really, what they do is they relate to the Midos as if the Midos are powers. That's the essence of Avodah Zarah. But on the other hand, if a person doesn't relate to the Midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he can't relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu altogether. So Yahadis taught the method. The method is that Hashem is Mohammed. Alayam is Niraki is Mohammed. And to me, he's Niraki is Mohammed. So I have a right to recognize that is an appearance which, due to my inferior abilities, that's as far as I can get. But at the same time, I recognize that at Hashem Shemo, that this stems from the source, the infinite source, the Mamsi Kol Nimtzo, the source of everything, the source of all existence, the only true existence, the Yesod Yesodos, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what Yadis really taught man, the method, the correct, legitimate way to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really encapsulated in that pasuk, Ad Hashem Shmo Chama, Ad Hashem Shmo. So it means that the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a right to react to them in the way, according to our limited abilities, it appears to us, but at the same time with the recognition that this is not the true vision, this is just something which emanates from Ad Hashem Shema, which is something which we could never ever have any direct knowledge of. Only a certain type of knowledge. So that's really the formula. But that's one aspect of the Shira. One aspect of the Shira is to teach us Oz Yosha, that's Oz Yosha Moshe, as I mentioned in Israel. It was not a spontaneous outpouring. People think of that what would a person do if he would be a recipient of the greatest Chazdei Hashem? So you'd say, well, we'd spontaneously pour out with praise and with fear. That's not appropriate. That's why it says Oz Yoshim Moshe Bnei Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach Kol Yisrael what exactly to say. An outpouring, an emotional outpouring, is a dangerous thing. Of the Avodah Zarah have emotional outpourings. We have an organized process which is taught to us from the Adon HaNeviim, and this was before my rising, Adon HaNeviim, and that was Oz Yoshim Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Moshe instructed them exactly what they could say, what you can say, what you can't say. And similarly, we mentioned by Tikach Miriam Hanavio, and Danny Wolf mentioned, that's why it says Hanavio, that's correct, to show that she was the one that knew exactly what to say, because Hatan Lahem Miriam, what's Hatan Lahem Miriam? The famous question, right? What's the answer? The answer is they all came up with the supernumerum cholos, which means that they wanted to be Meshaveh HaGadol Baruch Hu. Atan Lahem Miriam, Miriam answered, says, this is what you're supposed to say. Ashir let Hashem go, go, Sus Baruch Haram Vayam. That's it. So you see from the Pesukim themselves that Shvach HaShem V'Saper B'Shvach HaShem Matan for us is a very, very difficult kind of a thing. I mean, this is Yisod Nadas. This is the whole concept of the Elikei Avraham. I mean, that it's a dangerous thing. You have to know how to do this. You may want to do it. You may have all the sukkim and mechavos ready, but you can't just do it. You have to have a malami. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Yoshua Moshe Bnei Yisrael was the malami for Klal Yisrael, and Miriam and Avihu was the malami lamedes for the nashim. So that's one aspect of Shira. That's one aspect of Shira. The aspect of which is a Yisod. Of course, I mean the idea of Shira is Shira is, you see, there's different kinds of Shira. There's different types of Shira. For instance, the Shira Sayom is the Shira for Nisim. For the Shira for Nisa. There's a different Shira. There are really two Shiras in the Torah, essentially. There are two essential Shiras in the Torah. And that's Oz Yashir, and that's really Shira Sazinu. Shira Sazinu is a Shira on the Ashgacha in general. That's a different kind of a Shira. But really, there's another kind of Shira, of course, the Shira in the Migdash. And we mentioned that, the Shira in the Migdash. Because the whole purpose of the Kabbalist climax, in Shira, the Shira David Abdecha and Ishmoim Birecha, Amurim of Name is Bechecha. So the Ir Yerushalayim is really is an Ira Chochma. And that's a different Shira. The Shira of the Mikdash is different. The Shira of the Mikdash is based upon, as the Gemara says, as the Mishnah says, it's Bayam Arishan Ayamim, Bayam Hasheni Ayamim. Those are the, each one is Keneged Sheishim Ebrishis. And then, of course, Shabbos. So, really, the Shira of the Middash is the Shira on the Bria. It's a different kind of a Shira. Different. The source for the Shira is different. It's different than the source for Shira Sayom. But basically, over there, in the Shira Middash, and Middash is really like a microcosm. So the Migdash is, that's why you have the Shira in the Migdash is the Shira for the creation of the universe, okay? For the creation of the universe. So that's a different kind of Shira than the Shira Sayyid. It's a different kind of a Shira. It's an interesting thing. The Shira Dovid Abdecha on Ishmon B'Recha. What is on Ishmon B'Recha? Because the Ir Yerushalayim is really the Ir HaChachma. So the Yira Chochma means that there's one city that's built differently than other cities. This city, the essence of the city, what makes this into a city, is Chochma. Chochma Hashem. That's what the whole city is built around. The structure, the whole city is built around one thing. Chochma Hashem. And Chochma Hashem demands Shira. Chochma Hashem demands Shira. That means to say, on an individual level, it means to say that if a person is masik chachmas Hashem, understands, perceives chachma, So the response should really be a response of Shira. I mean, that's what we should have done with the Avdecha and Yishmoyim B'Yirecha. Because Yishmoyim is the Yira Chachma, and the Kabbonis. The Kabbonis really, really culminate in Shira. I mean, the Shira, the Kabbonis is an essential component of a Kabbon. So the Paschal's Market. So, but at any rate, the Shira is an essential component. So you see from this that a person that's involved in Chochmas Hashem is higher than Shira. Where do you see this concept? Listen, I took a look back at the Rambam in the well-known Rambam in the Surya Torah, Perek Beis. And yet the Rambam has it. He says, "V'heyochi aderech la'avoso v'yiroso b'shoshi is boning odem b'mas of ruv and flam agdolim v'yira mehen chachmoso she'en lo erech v'lo keitz miyad hu ohev u'mishabeach u'mefoer u'mesava taiva gadol aleida Hashem agadol." You see, the Rambam says, it's correct. It's the Rambam Karabai's idea. That Chochmas Hashem demands Shira. Shabeach u'mefoer. That's what Rambam says. A person's masik Chochmas Hashem, he is in a state of mind where he is ready to give Shira. Shabeach u'mefoer. It's an interesting thing. That's really the Shira David Avdecha and Shmoim B'Yirecha. Shmoim B'Yirecha. And the Yira Chochma. Yira Chochma and the year that the Shirei Dover and the Shmoyim Ba is really the same thing. Two components of the same thing. So you see the concept. Yeah? So really, what I want to bring out is that the concept of Shira is not, you know, there's different mitzvahs. Mitzvahs have a certain realm of function. And certain mitzvahs. A lot of mitzvahs. There's a lot of aspects to the life of a human being, and there's a lot of mitzvahs which of course are constructed to improve a person's life, but each one has a certain delineation. And mitzvahs have a certain limitation. I mean, mezuzah is an unbelievable mitzvah, but if you don't have a bias, you're not chayav in mezuzah. And it's certain limitations. But of course, that's the specific mitzvah mezuzah. But the Kriya Shema is something which is a chavos gavra is chayav all the time. Shira, there's certain mitzvah, certain realms. The mitzvah of makkah is just in certain conditions. But the shira, what I want to sort of show is that shira is a mitzvah that really permeates the whole essence of Yahadus, you know, and involves the central ideas of Ashkafas Yahadus. Shira is a very unique kind of an institution. The institution of Shira incorporates in it Yesodei Hadas. Yesodei Hadas in terms of the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the correct ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and it's insofar as a person's what we call happiness is concerned. Because happiness is where a person has a satisfactory feeling when he reflects upon himself. And that really is what Shira is about, because it's reflecting upon the self. Apparently, Yahadus holds that a person can and must reflect upon his own state of existence. Okay, of course, it's not the highest. The highest level is personally as Moshe Rabbeinu is involved constantly in the process of prayer, but that's Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not on that level. So, insofar as a person reflects and should reflect upon their own state of existence, Shira comes in. You cannot avoid the institution of Shira. Shira is really essential, fundamental, basic. Yes. when exactly does a person in this issue? Well, but I want to show that she really includes something more than another aspect of Shira. Okay? There's another aspect of Shira. The other aspect of Shira, and that's really a Shiras Yachid. What we were discussing was Shiras Tzibur. Shiras Tzibur is based upon the events that took place for instance, by Yom Tov. I mean, that's the ultimate. The ultimate observation of Chesed Hashem for Kol Yisrael. So that's really that's by Yom Tov. That's Shir Yom Tov. But then there's a Shiras Yochid, and you see that we're Mitzarev, the Novi to the Kriya, the Shiras Yochid. But Shiras Yochid is different. So Shiras Yochid has different elements. The question is, when does a person say Shiras Yochid? When does a person say Shira is a Yachid? So Shira is a Yachid, I mean, like everything else, you know, a person, you have to know when you have a right to say Shira. Not everybody could do it. Not everybody could do it. This is Chazal this morning, Gemara says in the Bav Basra, that Tzadikhes, Kol HaMizgoy B'Talisa Shol Talmud Chacham, is Ein Machnitsa Yosel B'Mechitzasa Shol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That a person that walks around with the puts on the garb of a Talmud Chacham is not a Talmud Chacham. So there's two pshat in there. The Rashbam says the pshat is because Talmid Chacham were begotten that are tznuim. So Rashbam says that's a Talmud Chacham that's appropriate. But for somebody that's not a Talmud Chacham, it's gasus. So on the contrary, so he has no right to wear it. And Rabbi Gershom says it's referring to the head covering. Because the Gemara says, Haiman Chazi, the Gemara says who was it? The one condition was he was Parasudra. So it was Rabban Nun, I think. He's a Chazi called Parasudra. So Rabban Nun was wearing a sudra. So the Gemara said, when a person was a Talmud Chacham, he wore a special. That's because the Rambam mentions in the Mor Nevuchim, he says, because that was the Kasi Roshcha, because the Shechina, the Shechina is ever present. So the Talmid Chacham wore this special suit that covered their head. So the Gemara says, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, that's only Talmid Chacham's allowed to, it's also for a regular person to wear such a thing. Because it's a Gassus HaRoch. Gas is a roar. He's not permitted to do that. And I remember when I was in Lakewood. There was a fellow there that was a Sparty, and it was Lag Bomer, and he didn't shave on Lag Bomer. So Alan Cutler was very upset. But he said, "What is he? Is he going to wear a beard? What right does he have to?" Who does he think he is? He's a young fellow. He has no right to do this. So somebody told this fellow. So he went to Rav. He explained to him. He says, "I'm a Sfardi and I keep Ramat Dalabom. I'm shaving tomorrow." that's the Gemara in Bava Basra. That you can't just the person that just wears the outer garment of a Talmud Chacham, and he's not Roy, he's Chutz L'Mechitzasa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So yeah, a person has to know when he could do certain things. He can't just, it's not just a free-for-all. He's just, in this system, he can't just come and do things because you feel you want to do that. Yeah, but the question is the Shiras Yochid. So in Shiras Yochid, the question is, when can a person say Shiras Yochid? That's the question. So the pasuk says, "Vayidaber David lo Hashem es divrei Hashira zos biyom hitzel lo Hashem oso et amzay Shmuel beiz zechav beiz biyom hitzel lo Hashem oso mikaf kol oivav umikaf shol mikaf kol oivav umikaf shol." Yep. So Radak says that Shira zos chibra David b'sof yomav kishiniach Hashem lo mikol oivav v'omar mikaf shol ki ruah yashokul kineged kol oivav. Okay, so he was equal to all of his enemies. Okay, So the Shir is found two places, found in Sefer Tehillim and found over here. So the so really, I mean, it's an interesting thing. The interesting thing is that the that over here you see that the Shira, he said b'sof yomah. He didn't say the Shira as he was victorious. Why didn't he say the Shira? Every victory should set Shira. Which shows you basically the principle that I mentioned before, that you can't just do things because you want to do them. It has to be based upon your deity, Hashem. You can't just do things. So b'sof yomah was different. So what was the difference b'sof yomah? So the answer is really based on the yesod in Yahadus. And I think we mentioned that this yesod in Yahadus answers Plato's famous question. Because Plato's famous question was that what is the purpose of courage? He says you need courage in battle. So he says, but there's a dilemma here. Because if the enemy is weaker than you, so then you don't need courage. Because you know you can defeat the enemy. And if the enemy is stronger than you, so then you're a fool if you're going to fight them. So then you don't need courage either. You shouldn't go to battle. So basically he says, we're hard-pressed to know when you need courage. And what value it is. So we said that Yahadus really answers that question. Answers that question with the concept of Shira is a result of the answer to that question, I should say. Okay? Yep. You see, he mentions that Shaul was an enemy, just like Shakul Keneged Kalaiva. So what does it mean with Shakul Keneged Kalaiva? It means that in Shaul you'll find really the prototype, the model, the prototype of the enemies that David throughout his lifetime fell prey to. The type of enemy that attacked David is really Shaul was the prototype. That's an amazing thing. It's really true. The man is a daughter of Melech, the greatest respect for Shaul, and he killed the Amaleki, the Benish Ger Amaleki that killed Shaul. Eicher Ilay Reisel Roshloch Yotchal the Mashiach Hashem. And David Melech really all his life had covered Malchus for Shaul. He only cut his garment. He could have killed him. And so you see that the David HaMelech Shaul was not a personal enemy. But what kind of an enemy was Shaul? And I mean, it was an interesting kind of enemy. It's the type of enemy that people very, very, very rarely have. And it's an enemy that he respected and he considered the Mashiach HaRashem. I mean, he not only respected him, but he was tied to his Yedias Hashem. This is Mashiach HaRashem means that this is like V'Aftal Recha Kamocha, because a person is Yitzur Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shaul was selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he had the greatest respect and the greatest affection on the highest plane for him. But nevertheless, it was his worst enemy. It was the prototype of his enemy. So the point is that Shaul was not really a personal enemy. It was not an enemy like most people have enemies. It's a different kind of enemy. When you take a look in the Navi, you see the Navi explains what kind of an enemy he was. Because the Navi explains that with Yohanan, when Yohanan tried to help David, and he tried to speak to his father for David HaMelech. So when he spoke to him, so he said, why should when he spoke to his father, he said, why should you be angry at him? He says, really, David HaMelech did the greatest thing, for you, because the victory over Goliath and other things. So actually, when the first time when Yonatan spoke to him, Shaul really did agree. You see. It says Vayadabra Yonason Bedovid Tov El Shaul. It's in Yutes Dalit. El Shaul of it. Vayomer Lov Al Yecheto HaMelech Ba'avdo Bedovid Kilo Chotoloch V'chi Maisov Tov Lucho Ma'od. It's very good for you. Vayosan Es Nafsho B'chapo. Put his life in his hands. Vayachar Esaf Pushti Vayasar Hashem Bedov Lucho Yisrael. Ra'isa Ratismach. You were so happy. Okay, why should you sin against innocent blood to kill David for nothing? Vayishma Shaul b'kol Yehonason, vayishov Shaul chayar Hashem in Yehos. So he listened to him, and he even was nishba b'lekin that he will not kill him. So what does it show you? That shows you that basically the same thing was true from Shaul's standpoint. That he wasn't his enemy. There's only one difference between Shaul and between David. That David's emotions followed as rational and Shaul's couldn't. You see? So that's why in Shmuel Alechof, when it says, when Shmuel got angry at Yehonasan, because Yehonasan was friendly with David, it says, Shmuel Alechof, Vayichav Shaul b'Yehonasan v'yomar ben Navas amardus, alo yedata kivocha ato levein yishe levoshtecho levoshes eves enecha. How can you possibly associate with David? And then he gives a new reason. Ki chol hayomim asher ben yishe chai al adama lo sikon ato malchusecho. Va ato shlach va kachos oilai ki ben mavaso. He decided he was going to kill him. So his emotionally he couldn't tolerate him. But you see, why couldn't he tolerate him? It's an interesting thing. It was not a personal grievance.
Taking away the malchus.
It was his existence. In other words, David HaMelech's existence was a problem for Shaul. There was no personal animosity, but he simply could not tolerate his existence because David HaMelech's existence meant that his limitation was manifest. And it wasn't just a limitation in terms of the Melech itself, that the Melech wouldn't pass on to the next door, but it was more than that. It was, unfortunately, the prototype of the enemy that David was to have. Namely, an enemy that's not a personal enemy, but an enemy that exists because of the pasuk in Tilim Lamed Zion that says, Tzofar Russia with Tzadik and Mavakesh HaMizra. That the Russia just cannot tolerate the existence of the Tzadik. So the existence of David HaMelech, of course, Shaul was different. He was ill. He became mentally ill. But the fact is, it was the same kind of a sinner. Namely, it wasn't a sinner because anything David did. It wasn't a personal sinner. It was a sinner because David HaMelech represented Shaul's shortcomings. He reflected. He mirrored. When he saw David HaMelech, he saw his own. He saw his own weaknesses, his own shortcomings, and why he failed, his own failure. And that really is the prototype of the sinner of the Russia. That's why Chazal say that. What's the worst thing that a person can do to an Amoritz? Learn Torah in front of him. Because that, he knows that is his weakness. And therefore the sinner that is generated towards the self is projected onto the other individual. That's the worst kind of sinner. That kind of sinner, you can't do anything about it. because it is really it's a displaced signal. Once in psychology, once something's displaced, it becomes it's the worst type of a emotional state, because you can't get to it anymore. It's completely out of the realm of the conscious. You can't get to it anymore. So the displaced sinner is the worst sinner. And that's really, the sinner Shoal was a displaced sinner. And that's why Shoal was the prototype. What type of sinner did he have from the other Oivim? What type of sinner did they express to Dor Melech? Look at Shoal. Mikafko Oivim, Mikaf Shoal. The sinner of Shoal was the prototype. That's the kind of thing. And that's really the sin of the itself for Russia, Sargon, Lakhazan, Mitzvah. Same thing. The same sin of Lavan Arami. Because what was the sin of Lavan Arami towards Yaakov? It was based on one thing. He couldn't cheat him. That's what killed him. He could not cheat Yaakov. And that was his whole life, was the fact that his whole confidence came from the fact that he can outmaneuver anybody, and he can cheat anybody. And here is his defense mechanism where he couldn't do it. Wasn't working. So he really hated himself because he wasn't able to do it. He projected it on God. That's the worst kind of, that's the displaced sinner is the worst sinner. That's why one thing is ready to kill his own family. It shows you what the Torah shows you, a displaced sinner can drive a person into a crazy area where he acts like an insane individual. He's going to kill his own family. Because the sinner, once it's displaced, there's no access to it. So basically, that's the prototype of the Oyvei David. Those who, and that's really Amalek. That's Amalek. Yavo Amalek, where did he come from? What was the problem? It doesn't say. Just why? Because they heard that the Klal Yisrael was existing. That brought out the unbelievable sinner in their vanity as a nation. They had to destroy Klal Yisrael. Again, a displaced sinner. Yes.
I think that explains why.
What?
Yeah. So the thing is like this. Now, a person who experiences such an enemy is really in a very, very difficult situation. Why? Because it's one thing if you're in competition with another individual, or if one country is in competition with another country, and you have your enemy, so you're fighting in the same battle. And you know, you're head to head against the other individual. So that is so each one has a chance. I mean, you know, you're looking at the enemy in the same manner the enemy's looking at you. So you have a chance. But what kind of a chance does a person have, you see, who has enemies that he doesn't even necessarily know who they are? Because the nature of the sinner is not because it's not a competitive. It's not because of the normal type of competitive situation. You see, two people are in business, so one person wants to outdo the other. Okay, so each one studies the other one's the way the other one works and their weaknesses and tries to attack them and destroy them. Okay. But then at least that's bad. But at least the person has a chance. But over here, the nature of the enemies is a different type. Okay, it's a different type. Which is that because the tzaddik exists, so he's picking up enemies that they just because they see him. That's a positive. So for Russia with tzaddik and Mavaka, I mean, his existence is a point. He can't stand this guy. Should exist. That's a different kind of an enemy. That's an enemy that you don't know. Even if you know that they're after you, you certainly can't know the parameters of how they're after you. I mean, you see, for instance, that's the Holocaust. Why did Jews go so willingly to their own slaughter? The reason is because they couldn't perceive that type of an enemy. What do they want from us? They want to, okay, they can understand they want to make us work. Okay, so work camps, that would make sense. But to endanger the war effort in order to destroy the Jew, that doesn't make any sense. That's the sin of Amalek. That kind of a sinner is really impossible. A person doesn't have a chance if he's not in that realm. He does not have a chance against such an enemy. So really what Yahadus teaches is, and every tzaddik is going to have that, because Sofer Rosh Hashanah Tzadik Mavakesh Hamisa. So that's what Chazal say in Kiddushin, the Gemara says. The next pasuk explains it. Ad Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. And so Chazal fill in. Umole Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro lo yuchalo. Shenema, the next pasuk. Ad Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. So what does it mean, Ad Hashem lo yazvenu biyado? It means here's where the Ashgacha works. This is the realm of the Ashgacha. In other words, you have an individual who, an individual who's at loggerheads with another person who's fighting a battle of normal competitive battle, that's derech hateva. That's God gave everybody abilities, and it's left to the chukei hateva who's going to win. But there's another kind of individual that because of perfection and because of Yedias Hashem, this person is going to be in tremendous danger. He's going to start accumulating enemies that he may not even know about them, and for reasons that have nothing to do with the normal, he can't fight them because he doesn't know who they are, where they are, and he's not involved. He's not involved in the battle of them. He's just involved in doing one thing. He's involved in gaining perfection, and Yedias Hashem is accumulating all these enemies. So there, Yahadus tells us is where the Ashgacha moves in. Ad Hashem Umole Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Lo Yochalo Ad Hashem Lo Yazvenu Biyado. That's the realm of the Ashgacha. That's the realm of the Ashgacha. And God guarantees that the individual will never be harmed because of the fact that they adhere to perfection, to yadus, to mitzvahs, to Torah, that they'll never be the enemies the individual acquires because of this road, because of this route, can never harm them. That's the only why, because of Hashem lo yazvenu. That's and it's a definite. It's not. That's what I'm saying. People have childish ideas, you know, about things, and then when they get older, you don't revise them, and these ideas are wrong, because the people feel that bitachon is a sometimes maybe thing, but the truth of the matter is it's not a sometimes maybe, it's an always. It's a definite, but you have to know the realm in which it operates, in which it functions. This is the realm where that's vayedavad olar Hashem zdivya Hashem zos biyom mitzvah Hashem Mikaf Koloiv of a Mikaf Shol, which is the prototype. Those type of enemies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ashgacha, moves in and saves them. And if there wouldn't be any Ashgacha, then the Tzaddik would be destroyed. In other words, basically, what the Pasuk tells us is that under normal circumstances, if it were left to the Teva, to the Chukei HaTeva, then the Tzaddik would have to be destroyed. And the apostle can't. It's a kind of battle. He hasn't got a chance because the nature. It's not because of the strength of the enemy. It's the nature of the battle. It's the way it's set up. You see, and that's the answer to Plato's question. That's where courage comes in, because courage against, if it's just a question of one enemy against another enemy, Plato's right. Is either there's no need for it, or else there's no use for it. You see, I mean, one of the two. But over here, this is where courage comes in. Where an individual has to follow a course that his chokhmah dictates he follows, and he knows that there are dangers, and because of this course, he's going to encounter and accumulate enemies, and it could even cost him his life, but the emes demands that he stays on this course. His adherence to the emes requires courage in order that the emotional aspect shouldn't defeat him. Because a person can know something, but the emotions don't necessarily follow. The emotions, and that's really one of the elements of shira, by the way. One of the elements of shira is that the emotions have to all follow. If the emotions don't follow, a person can't really say shira. Shira l'shem gogo sus revo l'yom means that he has to, his emotions have to follow. So that is where courage comes in. Courage is the ability for the individual to summon his emotions to follow his chachma in adhering to a kind of life which is, by definition, a dangerous kind of existence and can be very, very harmful to him. It can be harmful to him physically or materially. It can be harmful. So that's really the courage is not, Plato's problem was it was A against B, two warring factions. That's something else. That'd be another. That he's right. But over here, you're not. The courage is not against the enemy. The courage is to adhere to a certain type of life, which MS demands you do, and which is necessarily going to bring a person into a situation of harm. But the question is like this, of course. The question is, when can a person say shiur? When can an individual say shiur? Does that mean, why didn't he say shiur before? The answer is, when you read the shiur, you see, if you read the shiur carefully, you'll see that David HaMelech really understood where the Ashgacha, how the to see the Ashgacha. He couldn't see it at the time. He only saw it b'sof yamav. The end of his life, when he looked back, he saw it. It's just like we mentioned by Yaakov Avinu once. And at the time of the Tzaras, Yaakov said, Kael shaka yike l'chol rach l'fnei yoyish. Kael shem alolim da yom adala tzarasa. Later he said, means he saw and he understood the Ashgacha. It's only possible for a person to do it when he's at the end. It's like the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, a very interesting thing. Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim that a person really reaches the highest level towards the end of his life, and the ultimate level when he faces Misa. That the perfected individual reaches the highest level. The moment before his patira is really the highest point of his existence, of his life. And that's why he says that's the Mises, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. That was the ultimate point. Says, other tzaddikim, he says, had that the same experience, but not of the same kind. That was only those three had that kind of a misa, which special. That was very special in type, you see. But the concept is the same for all tzaddikim, basically. The idea is the same. So over here, that's what the problem is. Vayedaber davedol l'Hashem es divrei Hashira zos biyom mitzil l'Hashem ha'os mekaf kolod mekaf shol was b'sof yomav. So b'sof yomav, when we say that if a person adheres to yahadus and to perfection, that he cannot be harmed by his enemy, when we say that, we mean in terms of one thing, in terms of his goal, his unique goal, which is a DSM. In that framework, it can't be harmed. It doesn't mean it can't be harmed, that they can't take away his money, or they can't hurt his goof, or even take away his life. It doesn't mean it. It means in terms of his goal, that they will never be able to stop him from his goal, or to diminish from his goal. The goal of the DSM, they will not be able to stop. So, but how, when, and where, what, I mean, that we don't know. But apparently certain individuals can know. Certain individuals, like Yaakov Avinu, knew. Kim Arasi, that was later, he understood it. It means that the perfected person, at the end of their life, when they look back and reflect, because really hamalamed adam das HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a malamed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a malamed a person through the experiences that the that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places before us. So that's a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role of malamed. It's part of the role of malamed. So a person really can't see where it's going at the time, and that's why I mentioned why the person, like the individual, needs courage, because in spite of the fact that he cannot see it, and therefore it's it's something which he knows in general, but in specific he can't see it. That requires courage for the individual to remain on the course. But at the end, towards the end of the person's life, when he reaches the individual on the course doesn't even know where he's going to go, basically. You see, that happens to be, in terms of Yedias Hashem, in terms of the quest for Yedias Hashem, it's something where the person can't even know where he's going to be. I mean, it's a general idea, Yedias Hashem, he doesn't know what that means, actually. What does it mean? A person starts out in life and he wants to gain Yedias Hashem. He doesn't know what the word means. But he has a vague idea, okay? As his life unravels, he sees things that he never could have seen, could have known, could have anticipated, only in a general way. So only the Sof Yomov of David, only when he reached the Sof Yomov, he saw where he arrived at, and he was cognizant and appreciative of the state that he that he attained and that he achieved. I mean, he didn't even know what it was before. Only when David was on that state of existence where he understood the value of what he had, I mean, and how then he could look back, when he knew what it was, he could look back and trace it and see how everything really fell into line to lead him to that state, to that conclusion. And he saw it could not be chance. So then he was witness. He was witness to the personal hashgacha. And when an individual, when can a person say shira? When a person witnesses and knows something. Can't just say shira. Everybody wants to say shira, you can't say shira. Shira demands knowledge in your deal. That's why David said the Shira of the Sof Yomov. Not after every victory, he says Shira. That's a person that's just following their own intentions, their own personal inclination. You can't do that. So David HaMelech, the Sof Yomov, when he really saw the realm of the Ashgacha in specific, that realm of existence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, so that the tzaddik is able to exist, because under the normal laws of the Teva, he'd never be able to make it. The Russia would swallow him up. So for Russia's argument, the Vakish HaMiso, he wouldn't have a chance. Too many enemies, the type of enemy, it's impossible. But the Ashgacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the assurance of the Ashgacha in a general way. But when can a person say Shira? When a person sees it in specific. Apparently that's the halacha. When a person sees it, if a person, David HaMelech, when he reached a level where he saw where he arrived at, he was fully appreciative of it, and then he was able to look back, then he was able to say Shira. That's like by Shira Sayam. When did they say Shira Sayam? When they saw what happened on Yamsa. When they saw what happened on Yamsa. That's what it says. Ani b'chastacha v'tachti yogel libi b'shua secho v'rashiwa v'reshen ki gomal olay. It means when it's complete. When you finally complete, not just in event, because that's yogel libi b'shua secho. V'rashiwa v'reshen ki gomal olay is, gomal olay means when I understand exactly the gemilus chasadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I understand it, and I see how it all took place. And he doesn't understand the background of it. That's only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. But the surface. He witnesses the surface phenomena. That's when the person is sure. by Yom Suf. No one knew what the Nisei Yom Suf were, what it was. No one knew what the Nisei Yom Suf were. That's only Chachmas Hashem. But they witnessed the surface activity of the Nis. So when an individual witnesses the surface activity of the Nis, he can say, Hashem ish Mohama. That much you could see. You can see the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Ashgachas Hashem. Then you can say, Hashem Shemo, and he has a right to say Shemo. Yes. So it comes out that there's two shiras. There's a shira of the Tzibor, that's the shiva, that's Az Yosha Moshe, and then there's a shira of Yachid. But both are really based on the Yisodi Adas. One is the shira of the Kohal is based on a different. The difference between the two is that the shira of the Kohal is based upon the Ashgacha for the Klal. So it's based upon the Chasdei Hashem to the Klal, but the shira of the Yachid is based upon the Chesed Hashem and the Ashgacha to the individual, to the Yachid.